Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We'll continue our study tonight in this absolutely wonderful chapter. Tonight we'll look at verse 8, which is directly tied in to verse 7 with the beginning word for. So let's read verses 1 to 9 to see the context of the two verses. First, we're going to read the context here. Then we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. And then we're going to focus on verse 8. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see right there that salvation's of the Lord, don't we? So clear. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. Wonderful statement. And thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For, so there's the connection there. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. In verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. That's next week's verse. Right? But for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine. Look at that. We're the Father's. We're the Father's. We've been given to the Father. Or we've been given to Christ by the Father. And even here Christ says, we're his possession still too. My, oh my, isn't that wonderful? What comfort these words can give we who are the born again people of God. It's so comforting. So much comfort here in these verses. To think that sinners who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, washed in the precious blood of Christ, saved from all our sins. We read these words and we marvel, don't we? Number one, that God would choose us. Number two, that we were the Father's possession given to Christ. And number three, that he preserves us and keeps us and he's revealed himself to us. All according to his will and purpose. Because it pleased him to do so. And again, we see here the fact that we were the Father's before he gave us to the Son in eternity. And we also see here the fact of the Son of God's tender love towards us. He loves us, beloved. He loves us with an eternal love, an unchanging love. And he's loved us that way from eternity. We were enemies in our minds. See, we were the ones who needed to be reconciled. We had left God, hadn't we? When Adam fell, we were separated from God. He didn't move nowhere. He didn't go anywhere. But we were far away, dead in trespasses and sins. And now Ephesians says we've been brought nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. That's what's brought us nigh. That's what's brought us close. That's what reconciled us back to God. Whose blood? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Passover lamb. So we see here the fact of God the Father and God the Son's, and we know God the Holy Spirit too, eternal love and care for his people. We're called the sheep of his pasture. We're his little sheep, and he's the shepherd. And he's been charged, Christ has been charged to take care of us, beloved. And you know, if he lost one of his people, do you know that would tarnish his glory? But he won't lose one, will he? He says, all that the Father gave me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's why we say to the sinner, we're sinners saved by grace, right? We say, sinner friend, you who are dead in trespasses and sins, flee to Christ. That's what we sinners did by the grace and mercy of God, right? According to the will of God. And we see here too in these words, I see so clearly God's distinguishing grace. God's distinguishing grace. Who's the only one who's made us to be in Christ? God the Father. By his choosing. There's a whole world around us, right? They know nothing about the one true God. And here we are. Out of all the people in our generation, right? And God's been pleased to reveal himself to us. That's amazing. That's distinguishing grace. And it's all according to his mercy. There's nothing in us that would merit it. His brother Tim James used to say, no merit, no merit, no merit. Nothing in us. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Just God's mercy and grace. So what comfort we can find here in verse 8 and verse 7. But let's read the two verses together. And we can see this wonderful truth brought forth. Look at this. Now they have known. Who's the ones who've known? Those the Father gave to Christ. What do they know? That all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of me. Sorry. Now he's going to go into a little bit more of a description here of that which was spoken of in verse 7. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Now the name of this message, I named it, I didn't say it at the beginning, is received, or given, received, and believed. And we see it right here in this verse. Christ has given us the words that the Father gave him to say to us. Right? We've received them how? Only by the grace of God. We wouldn't receive them in our natural state. Not at all. As a matter of fact, we'd say, no, I don't want nothing to do with God. But when you're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, now you receive those words, don't you? And then we believe that Christ came from the Father, don't we? We believe that he was sent by the Father. Look, it's all here in verse 8. Look, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely. Now, God's people know a few things, don't we? We know some things we didn't know before. And this is something we know here. You read the book 1 John, and John will tell you some things that we know. We know that we have eternal life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Look what he says here. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them only by the grace of God, and have known surely that I come from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Do you believe that God the Father sent Christ? Did you believe that before the Lord saved you? I didn't. I believe it now. But I didn't believe it before. But now, it's precious. So what comfort's found here in this, in verse 8 here? He's speaking of his disciples here, but we, like the disciples, are born again, blood-washed saints, just like they are. And we receive the same way, don't we? Faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear? Right? Except for a preacher. Well, preacher's sent by God, eh? How shall he preach? Unless he be sent. Right? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And this is the Son of God's testimony about this, that he has given us the words that the Father gave him. Think of what we know. Now, we can't brag about anything we know about Christ, can we? Or about God. But think of the things we know now. We know why Christ came now. We know who he came to save. We know where he is right now. Right? We know that the words that he spoke were of the Father's. We believe that the Father sent him. We didn't before we were saved, did we? That's a miracle of grace, isn't it? So we can see that we've been given those words. We've received those words. And we believe them by the grace of God. Again, it all comes right back to Christ, doesn't it? All comes right back around to him. Now we know about the Father's love. I had no clue about the Father's love, but his eternal love before I was saved. Did you? I hadn't even heard it. I didn't even hear it in religion. I heard, well, God loves everyone. No, that's not true, because we see that in verse 9, right? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Christ loves his own. He loves those who the Father gave him. Now, lest people, and they jump on this all the time, well, there you go, preaching election again, yeah? And I'll keep preaching it till the day I die. But you know what? The elect are a number that no man can number. You just put that in people's face. When they start barking about election and getting mad about election, just say, it is a number that you can't even come close to numbering who are saved. Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. A.W. Pink brings this forth from these verses. He says, how surely does it tell us the pleasure of God is this, that we should know him. You ever think of that? It's the pleasure of God that we know him. A dirty, rotten sinner like me? Yep. And you too, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? It's according to his good pleasure that we should know him. It's wonderful. It's absolutely amazing. He goes on to say that we should know him in love, that we should know him as the Father, that we should know him according to the words of him who came out from his bosom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God incarnate. What favor God has shown us. Undeserved favor. But what favor he's shown us. And what joy this will bring to our hearts. What freedom and what liberty this will bring to our hearts, beloved. As we contemplate what God has done for us in Christ. And now we see God in love, don't we? Now, he's a God of wrath, too. But his wrath for his people has been appeased in Christ. He's not angry with his people. He loves them. He loves us, beloved. Oh, my. It's when we were enemies in our minds, you see, by wicked works. And in Christ reconciled us, beloved. It's wonderful. Ministry of reconciliation. It's wonderful. And we see here that the saints of God are distinguished from the world. They're those who the Father gave to Christ. They're distinguished. And again, it's only God's distinguishing grace that's made the difference between you and I and anyone else in this world. We can't boast about nothing, can we? We can boast in him. We can praise him. We can glorify him for what he's done for us. We can't boast in nothing. And I love that. Because you know what? I have to admit it. You know, we get a little bit of a big head. What happens when we get a little bit? The Lord pops it, doesn't it? You know, we usually see something that hits us in the scriptures. For our correction, always in love. Always in love. But my, oh my. God's people are distinguished from the world. And now we have a right standing with God only in Christ. We have that right now, beloved. Right now, while we're here, right now, right this second, every born-again believer has a right standing with God before we even get to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And it's unchanging. Is God unchanging? He's unchanging, right? Therefore, his salvation's unchanging, beloved. Oh, it's wonderful. We're just waiting to go home, beloved. We're just waiting to go home. We're already seated in heavenly places, the scripture says, in Christ. He knows the end from the beginning. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. It's spectacular, actually, isn't it? It really is. And the believer in Christ now, we know that Christ came on a mission, right? He was sent on a mission. What's that? To save our souls. Christ came to save his people, what? From their sins. That's what he did. Hallelujah, right? What a Savior, as we sang. He purchased us with his precious blood. It's absolutely wonderful. And we also know that the Lord is the promised Messiah, don't we? You know, when I was a Catholic, I didn't even know what the Messiah was. They never talked about it. Didn't talk about that. Just said Christ came at Christmas time. Well, that's a whole other ball of wax. Yeah. Oh, my. The whole thing is Christ came to save us. To do that which we couldn't do. We couldn't save ourselves from our sins. And he saved us, beloved. And it's done. The work is done. It's absolutely wonderful. And we know now. We know, don't we? By faith. By faith. By God-given faith. And that faith, again, you're going to hear me say it a lot tonight. That faith has one object, and that's Christ, isn't it? God-given faith looks to Christ, looks away from self, and looks to Christ. Right? That God-given faith has one object, and that's Christ alone. Because he's the only Savior of sinners. How do we know that? Well, he told us that, didn't he? We'll look at some words tonight by him. My, oh my. And think of this too. It's not what we think or who we think the Father is by our natural minds, right? Because in our natural thinking, before we're born again, we have a warped version of who God is. Because it's based upon who we think he is by our dead nature. But now when we're born again, now we have an understanding that we didn't have before. It's an understanding of who God is. That he's our Lord, that he's our Savior, that he's our Redeemer, that he's the Messiah, that he's the sent one from God. So our thoughts before we were born again of God and of Christ, right? Because we probably heard sometime that God's done all he can do, now's the rest up to you, which is a lie from the pit of hell. We're talking the Almighty Savior. We're talking God in the flesh. He's done all he can do. What? Yeah, he did. He did what he did what he was sent to do at Calvary's cross. He saved his people from their sins. And then he went up to glory, where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not trying to save anyone. He saved his people from their sins, didn't he? That's what he did, beloved. Saved us from our sins. It's wonderful. So it's not what we think in our natural mind, but now that we're born again, beloved, now we have an understanding of who God is. He's such a loving God. He's a pardoning God. He's a merciful God. He's a God full of grace, isn't he? He's wonderful. He's not who we thought he was. And we're in awe. And all that comes about because the Father has given Christ the words to reveal him. Oh, it's wonderful. And we've received them, haven't we? And we believed them by the grace of God, haven't we? The power of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's by grace that we now know that Christ again was sent by the Father. And it's by grace that we know that the words that Christ speaks come from the Father. And they're for us, beloved. And they're for us. They're for we who are His people. Did you understand this book before the Lord saved you? I don't care if you were in church or if you were on the streets like I was. Did you understand this book before the Lord saved you? I didn't have a clue. I've told you I read it before the Lord saved me. And I did not. I put it down. I said, I don't understand what that thing's saying. But after the Lord saved me, oh man, where'd that come from? I never saw that before. And even still, right? We all talk about that. Even still, when we're reading, is the ink wet? Oh my! I didn't see it. I've read that passage 100 times. I never saw that. Well, praise be to God. He's revealed it to us. You know when He does too? When we need it. Amen. He's so good to us. He's so good to us. And so by God-given faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit illuminating the Scriptures for us, we understand. We understand the things, and it's the deep things of God. You know, people say, well, that guy's a deep preacher. You know, a preacher just getting up for the first time and preaching Christ, he's preaching deep things, beloved. Isn't he? Deep things. I mean, deep things. He's preaching the mystery of God in Christ. He may stammer like I do sometimes and mispronounce words, but you know what? It's the message, isn't it? It's the message. It's not the man. It's the message. Power in the Word of God, beloved. So let we who are the people of God give praise to our great and glorious God for revealing Himself to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 8 now. We read verse 7 and 8 to see the connection. Now here's the word, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? That we receive the words of God. Because you know what? The Scripture says there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And now the people of God are receiving the words of God? Only by the grace of God. Only by the power of God, beloved. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I..." Surely they know. They know for a fact. Right? "That I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." My, what a verse. And note the word again, "for," in verse 8, brings forth that which was spoken of in verse 7 is going to be explained here in verse 8. "And the disciples had by grace through the teaching of God the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ entered by grace into a knowledge that the world was completely ignorant of." And we were there before the Lord saved us. The world is completely ignorant of the truth. And I can say that because I was there. Have you experienced that? My. Thought I knew who God was. Jake, you remember when the Lord saved you? Jake says, "I feel like a soldier's got a gun now." He was raised in a church where they preached things and they said certain things, but they never talked about election. They never talked about some of the truth. Although they claimed to believe them, but they never taught them. Then he met a Canadian and wanted to do some Bible studies with him. The rest is history. Oh my. It's incredible though. It's absolutely incredible. So the world's completely ignorant. And we were too. I'm not saying that condescending wise, because everything I know comes from God anyways. But I was ignorant of the things of God. I had a Christ in my mind. He wasn't the Christ of the Bible. I had a God in my mind. He wasn't the God of the Bible. Now, praise be to God for those who are raised in a gospel-preaching church, but you still have to be born again. Right? Still have to be born again. God's got to give us ears to hear and eyes to see the things of Christ. Now, in Christ's day, some wondered at his words and his works, and others, in their hateful blasphemy, they attributed the words and the works of Christ to Satan. That just shows you the depravity of man. Just so hateful. So hateful. He'd done nothing to miss. He went around doing good. They hated him. Hated him without a cause. My, oh my. And the disciples had heard and seen that occur, right? They were with him when the Pharisees said that about him. They had heard it. They had seen it. But they still believed he came from the Father. That's called preserving grace, beloved. That's God keeping them. Because we're all prone to go like this. Oh, what's over here? Right? We're all prone to it. But he just lovingly brings us back over here. Here you go. Feed on this wonderful, wonderful grass of the Word of God. It's precious. Amen, brother. It's so precious. But like that song says, and it's true of all of us, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Right? Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So they'd seen all this. And again, by the grace of God, the disciples had learned that Christ was sent by God. He was the Messiah. So they just cast away those words of the wicked Pharisees. Just like we do when people say things about our king. Whatever. You know, I usually say, I pray the Lord saves you before you meet him. Because afterwards, it's too late. And then you're going to learn that he is the king of the universe. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My, oh my. He's no one to play games with. No one to play games with. And the disciples, they learned that Christ was sent by the Father. They believed. That means the words in our text, which are words of Christ, came to them from the Father. They actually heard our King speak these words. We read about them. And by grace, same thing. We receive them by grace. We believe them by grace, don't we? But they actually heard these words. And I find it absolutely incredible that God the Holy Spirit preserved this prayer of Christ for us to get a glimpse of his magnificence, to get a glimpse of his deity, to get a glimpse at who he was. This is the King, beloved. This is the King who's humbled himself, come so low to save his people from their sins. Now he's back up in glory. And those angels and those saints of God, they're crying, hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh my, worthy is the Lamb. My, and we believe these words. We believe these words that the Father gave to Christ. By faith, we believe them. And that's, again, God-given faith, too. Again, it's salvations of the Lord. It all goes right back. It's a big circle, isn't it? All the glory goes to him. All of it. Let's read verse 8 again. And note, these words are given to those who the Father gave to Christ. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. So the words were given to Christ first. And they have received them. Again, that's a miracle right there. That we would receive the words of the Father. Because he has to reveal himself to us, doesn't he? Right? We'll never know him unless he reveals himself to us. And have known surely that I came out from thee. He came down from heaven, beloved. Remember that message sent, Dave? Oh my, that was a wonderful night. Sent. And he keeps saying, I was sent by the Father. He sent me. It's wonderful. And he's saying that here. Knowing surely I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst what? Here it is again. Send me. He sent. Isn't that remarkable? God the Father sent God the Son to save us from our sins and to reveal the words of God to us. And we've received them by grace, and now we believe them. I'm going to keep saying it's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And these words were not commands, but they were doctrines. Doctrines of Christ. Doctrines of Christ. Not the doctrines of men. Not the doctrines of strange teachings or diverse teachings. None of those. None of those. Not the doctrines that men cook up in their imagination, saying you have to do this along with Christ to be saved. Just cooked up doctrines from the pit of hell, beloved. That's all they are. No, but what the scriptures call the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ. The apostles agree. They had received these doctrines, and they found out that they agreed with Scripture. Just like we do. That they agree with Scripture, beloved. And the only way they know that is by the grace of God, right? Is it not so for us too? And we find out who the true author of the Scriptures are. God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I'm going to read our verse again while you're turning there. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now look at this in John chapter 7. And see how the truth of verse 8 that I just read relates to this portion of Scripture here. John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Look at that. Whose is it then? But his that sent me. There it is again. Sent me. Well, that's speaking of God, isn't it? If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit is said to come and he won't speak of himself, but he'll speak of Christ. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and he won't speak of himself. He speaks the words that God gave him. Oh, it's amazing. This plan of salvation is absolutely amazing. And all this was planned and purposed in eternity. He that speaketh of himself, look what he says about anyone who speaks of himself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, God's glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Well, we have unrighteousness in us, but who's the sinless one? Who's the one who has no unrighteousness? Christ. He's speaking of himself there. See, he seeks to glorify the Father, beloved. He seeks to speak the doctrines of God. See, people, when they say, well, I don't believe that, they're basically saying they don't believe God then. You know, I like to say when I come across a passage that I just don't understand that, so I'm going to leave that for a while. And when God's pleased to illuminate those scriptures, here, show it to me. But I'd never say I don't believe it by the grace of God. Because it's all God's word, isn't it? Whether we understand it or not, it's all his word. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Keep your finger there in John chapter 6. So go put your finger a little bit in John chapter 6 there. But go over. We're going to read over here in Matthew 7. This all ties in with verse 8 that we're studying tonight. Look at this. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 24 to 29. Now our Lord had just spoken about, many shall say unto him, Lord, Lord, look at the wonderful things we've done for you. Look at these incredible things. We cast out demons. We did all this stuff for you. And he says to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The religious world is in for a big surprise, aren't they? Claiming all these things they've done for God. See, the one thing that's different with grace believers is we give all the glory to God, don't we? It's all about what he's done. He saved me. I heard somebody, and they keep saying this, I'm going to talk to him one of these days. And a friend of mine says, when I got saved, when the Lord saved me. I know somebody say, well, that's such a little thing. Oh, you're nitpicking. No, the Lord saved me. I didn't save myself. I didn't get saved. The Lord found me. I was lost. Amen. I was gone. I was gone down the path. And he sought me out and saved me. My, there's a big difference, isn't there? And that's what he did for all of his people. Look at this, though. So here he's said to those religious folks, and he said many, many, in verses, a couple verses up there, actually two verses up, I believe it's 22 and 23, but at the end of verse 23, he says, I never knew you, about those religious folks. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now look at what it says in verses 24 to 29. This is amazing. In light, I was studying this today, and in verse 8, you know, knowing the words now that the Father has given us, and this just blew up for me. It was wonderful. Look at this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's his words, beloved. That's his words that come from the Father. Right? Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He says, I'm the way. I'm the resurrection and the life, doesn't he? If you believe that, your house is built on a solid, right? Solid rock, isn't it? That's Christ. Yeah, you see? The words he speaks. The words he speaks. And they're the words of the Father, right? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. What? It fell not. It didn't fall. It was kept. It had that sure, solid foundation. Right? Why? Why didn't it fall apart? For it was founded upon a rock. It had a solid foundation. Right? Now let's look at this one. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So again, the words of Christ, and they say, I don't believe that. Whatever. We were there, weren't we? But by the grace of God, now we believe. But look at this. This is kind of chilling here. Look at this. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. It's got no foundation. There's no foundation. There's nothing. It's on sand. You ever try to build something on sand? It might sit there for a little while, and then one side might sink. Right? My, oh my. What happens? Just think of when we were kids, or when you took your kids to the beach, right? You remember making those little, I love it, take my pail, and tip my pail over, put a little stick in there, all that, right? You get it too close to the water comes, and it just, what's it do? It eats the bottom, doesn't it? And then the top just goes, boom! There it is. There's a picture right there. Look at this. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now he's talking spiritual things here, isn't he? Great was the ruin. It was ruined. It was ruined. My. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings. Look at this. The people were astonished at what? His doctrine. His words. That's speaking of his words, beloved. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's because he wouldn't like the scribes. He's the God-man. He's the God-man. He has all authority. The reason he speaks with authority is because he's got all authority. He's got all power. We saw in verse 2 of this chapter, he's got all power to give eternal life to as many as the Father's given him. And he does that, doesn't he? And it's wonderful. So the doctrine of Christ is the word of truth. Of one faith, speaking of his righteousness, the scriptures speak of his righteousness. The scriptures speak of peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In reconciliation with God, sinners reconciled to a holy and righteous God through Christ, eternal life and of salvation, which all comes from Christ for what he's done for us on Calvary's cross, appeasing the wrath of God, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. My, oh my. And the gospel of God's free in grace, free in sovereign grace. This is his gospel. It comes from God. It's God's gospel, beloved. It's not man-made. It comes from him. My. And then he gives his preachers the ability to preach it, doesn't he? My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6 now. Look at this. Keeping in mind of what we've been looking at here. Now, we saw there his doctrine. They marveled at his doctrine. Speaking one with authority. Look at this in John chapter 6, verses 62 to 69. You know the words of Christ? They're spirit and life. Spirit and life. We were dead and he spoke life to us, didn't he? Oh, his life for the sinner. He willingly gave. Gave his life for us. Look at this in John chapter 6, verses 62 to 69. What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. We're showing here our nothingness. That's what we're showing there, our nothingness. Now, natural man don't like that. God's people say, amen. I'm nothing without Christ but a sinner. But praise be to God, with Christ, in Christ, I'm a saved sinner. Oh my. Look at this. The Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you. Look at that. The words again. See the connection to verse 8 that we're looking at? The words what? The Father gave him to speak, right? This is amazing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. See, the natural man can't discern it. That's why we didn't know anything about God in our natural state. He had to reveal himself to us, and it's all by his grace and mercy. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Look at that. From the beginning. Well, when's the beginning? From eternity. Some people sit, look at that and say, well, from the beginning of his ministry. From eternity. He's God. He knows, does he not know every one of his sheep? And he knows who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He already knew Judas. Judas was a devil. He knew Judas would betray him. And he said, therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. Look at that. Look at that verse 65. That's amazing. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man or woman can come unto me except it were given of him of my Father. From that, look, now when people heard that, right? See what that does? That when he said that you can't come to me except the Father draws you. That's like when you tell people that salvation's of the Lord and they get spitting mad at you and say, well, what about my will? I got me a free will. Yeah, your will will take you to hell, won't it? Right? You must be born again. You must be going, the Father must wrought a change in you. So clear here. So clear. And what happened? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's not the 12. That's other people that were following him. They said, I don't have nothing to this. I won't have nothing to this sovereign grace in salvation. You tell me God's sovereign? He could do whatever he pleases? Yep. The master just said it, didn't he? The master said it. Look what he said. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man, that means no one, that doesn't exclude, that excludes certain people. That means no son or daughter of Adam, no man or woman can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. And they hated it. They hated that saying. Then Jesus, now he's going to turn to the 12. And he says, will you go away? Will you also go away? You going to go too? You guys going to take off too? He already knew the answer. Because God keeps his sheep, doesn't he? He's not asking this for information. This is for our learning, beloved. Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Is that not what we... Who else... Who can we go to? Can't go nowhere else, can we? But Christ. We can't go nowhere but Christ. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Words again. Where'd those words come from? The Father. Oh, it's magnificent, isn't it? It's absolutely magnificent. And we see in verse 65 there, in verse 65, actually in 63 too, when he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And then in verse 65, when he says, and he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now look a little bit up in this chapter. Look at verses 44 and 45. So what he's saying, he's pressing again. He's pressing into the truth that he already mentioned in verses 44 and 45. He's pressing down on this truth of God's sovereign mercy. Of God's sovereign mercy. Look what he says here. No man can come unto me, verse 44, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, taught by the Holy Spirit of God, taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's wonderful. So the flesh, the natural mind, cannot receive the words of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who quickens us, who gives us life. He quickens us by the word, doesn't he? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he gives us eyes to see Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And then he gives us ears to hear the gospel. And we never want to stop hearing it. And we share sermons we get, say, listen to this, it was such a blessing. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. Oh my. So the flesh of the natural man, human wisdom, does not profit us at all. And it has nothing, no part in the salvation of our souls. Nothing. It's the words of Christ, the words of life that are spiritual. And one cannot discern spiritual truth who has no spiritual life. It must be born again. Life comes before understanding. You have to be born again. Let's go back to our verse in John 17:8. With all that in our minds, Scripture declares there, it says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." We saw that just a few minutes ago. "And they have received them." Again, that's a miracle of grace right there. "And they have known surely that I come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." Christ our Lord is the Word of God incarnate, sent by the Father to save his people from their sins, to redeem our eternal sins by the shedding of his precious blood and the giving of his life. He has given us the words that the Father has sent him to say. And by God's grace, we received them, haven't we? There was a time when we didn't want to hear them, or we just like closed our ears to them. We might not have told that to people, but I don't want to hear it. Now, tell me. Tell me about my Messiah. Tell me about my King. Tell me about my Lord, my Redeemer, the Savior of my souls, the lover of my soul. Tell me about Christ. And we've received him just as the apostles received him, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And next, we believe the words of God. So they were given. We received them. And now we believe them. Now we believe them. That's a miracle in itself too, isn't it? It's a miracle. Miracle of grace. He proclaimed the words that he was sent by the Father to proclaim, and by the grace of God, we believe them. We believe them. And our Savior, he's treated his disciples like friends, hasn't he? He even said, "You're my friends." We looked at this Sunday. We're the friends of God. That's incredible. And the Father has committed unto him all that he gave him. And think of this too. The words that we're hearing are of an intimate communication between the Father and the Son. He said, "Speak these words." He speaks to us. And the only way, because he's God, right? The only way we can understand who God is we have to be spiritually alive, don't we? A natural man cannot receive the words of God because they're spirit and they're life. But when you're born again, that's a whole new book, isn't it? And none of us have arrived, none of us has reached any pinnacle, but I'll tell you what we've learned, oh, praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you for your mercy, for your grace, saving a sinner. I know this for sure, he saved my soul. Did he save yours? Praise be to God, eh? Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And having received the words of Christ, the disciples and we who are the born-again people of God, now we know about the love that the Father had for us, and that it was the love that Christ had for his bride that he came here to redeem us from our sins. Let's read that verse one more time again. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." So the words were given to Christ. God's elect received them by grace, through faith, God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and we believe. We believe that Christ came from the Father, that he was sent. And think of that. Just marvel. God sent his Son to die to save our souls. And Christ came willingly. My, oh my. We must be precious in his sight, aren't we? We don't feel that way. We know our faults. We know our sinfulness. But beloved, go home rejoicing tonight. You're precious in his sight. Precious. And that word precious in the Old Testament, when it says that when a saint dies, that's like a diamond in the Hebrew. We're like diamonds to the Lord. Precious jewels to him. Isn't that wonderful? My, oh my. So the words that were given again to Christ, God's elect received them through grace and faith given to us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and God-given faith, we believe that Christ was sent by the Father to save his people from their sins. And how this manifests, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Turn, if you would, last place to turn, Romans chapter 10, and then we'll be done. Oh my, how plain the lesson is taught to us. You know, if our faith is to be strengthened, if our faith is to be deepened and increased, it must be by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And he uses the preaching of the word. He uses us reading the word and studying it to grow us in grace, doesn't he? He grows us. My, oh my. He illuminates the scriptures. He teaches us the things of Christ. In spiritual knowledge and discernment, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of receiving Christ's words and believing them. Look at this. We're closed with this. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise be to God. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. Who is the author of this book? God, the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful that now we have an understanding that we never had before? Praise his mighty name.